You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
And today we're continuing our series entitled 10, which is really in reference to the Ten Commandments, the perfect love, perfect law for perfect love. Let me give you a quick review of where we've been. We've been journeying for the last 4 weeks on the topic of the Ten Commandments. And the whole idea of why we're reviewing this is in light of seeing the history of the Jews coming out of Egypt, in which case they were running their lives like slaves. They were under the slavery of the Egyptians, had no knowledge of what freedom looked like. They were under the suppression, whether that was political, whether that was religious, whether that was economic, and for that matter, even physical. They were slaves. They had no concept whatsoever. And after which they left Egypt, and the Lord turned them into a nation. And out of that, the Lord gave them a revelation of who He was. That unlike the original concept of having multiple gods, there are many, many different gods in Egypt, there's only one God. And you cannot have any other gods before Him. And that you're not to carve a god, create a god, manufacture your own idea of God, but you're supposed to revere this God and serve no one but this God. And Yahweh, or God, began to introduce Himself to the people of Israel. Last week, we continued on in reference to the name of the Lord. And finally, today, we're looking at the fourth commandment, which is regarding the Sabbath day. Before last week, the week prior to that, I talked to you about the rule breakers. I talked to you about the principle of certain people who break rules. I mentioned, for instance, Douglas MacArthur, who was with a quote that said, "You're remembered best for the rules that you break." I talked to you a little bit about Pablo Picasso and how Picasso said that you should know the rules so you can figure out how to break them. And I referenced this point because I wanted to make two very important observations. The rule breakers break rules not because they're nearly just rebellious, Albert Einstein or, for that matter, Steve Jobs. They knew two very basic principles. The first one is there are certain rules that need to be broken because they're outdated and they're actually useless. And we've created rules that are actually of no substance or use. On the other hand, the other reason why I brought up this idea of rule breakers is because these people know the rules so well that they know that while there are rules that need to be broken and thrown away or cast aside, there are certain rules and principles that you cannot do without, and rules that have to be kept and obeyed and kept throughout your lifetime. In which case, by knowing these two tensions, we're able to find the right balance, if you may, the right ability to live life correctly. I made the point that probably the greatest rule breaker of all would be Jesus Christ Himself. The Pharisees were offended and wanted to kill Jesus primarily because He was a rule breaker. He kept breaking the rules. However, Jesus, because He knew the rules better than the Pharisees, did say that, "I'm not a rule breaker." He said, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law. Actually, I didn't come to do that, or the prophets. I've come to fulfill them, actually. I actually come to make them a reality." Today, I want to bring up yet two other rule breakers who have changed our world. The brothers Orville and Wilbur Wright were really sons of a bishop, a pastor. And their father brought them this little contraption, a little helicopter-looking thingy. At the time, there were no helicopters. Nobody had taken off and flew. And they were given this little contraption, this helicopter, which captured their imagination that at one point, some people can fly. The brothers Orville and Wilbur Wright were today celebrating the 100 years of flight, were credited for the invention of the airplane. And the rule that they broke was the rule or the law of gravity. Gravity tells us that what comes up must go down. And while there's truth to that principle, the greater essence of that principle is that at the core of the earth is this gravitational pull known as gravity, which is important, not just because something must go up, must come down, but because that gravitational pull is what keeps us all in check and balance. If you take gravity away from our earth, we're all going to be floating around and we all won't be able to accomplish anything. In essence, what I'm trying to say is whenever you look at the law or the commandments, you want to look at not just the principle of the law, but you want to know the spirit behind why there is a law. The issue between the Pharisees and Jesus was precisely that. The Pharisees knew the laws, made the laws even more complicated than they should be because they made it bigger than it really was. It really wasn't about the law. It was about the purpose or the essence or the spirit behind the law. This is one story in particular in the book of Matthew where Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1, at that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. Very simple, straightforward story. They're walking by the fields. The disciples of Christ get hungry. They start picking up the grain and start eating them. And the Pharisees see it. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." Basically, they're saying, your disciples are breaking the rules. They're not doing what the rule book says. The rule book says, you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. You're not. And they added multiple rules to that existing command. In fact, I've been to Israel 4 times now, and there are days when I'd reach there on a Sabbath day. That's a Saturday. On a Sabbath day in Israel, you can find that the Jews start closing their shops. They actually hurry before the sunset because there are now all kinds of rules which the Bible doesn't really hold up to. These are very old Testament rules that they magnified. Now you can't press the elevator. You got to switch off the light. You can't wash your hands. You got all sorts of things that they've added to the rule, and that's precisely what they were bringing up here. They're saying, Jesus, your guy shouldn't be eating. Here's what the Lord responds to them in verse 3. He answered them, "Haven't you read David when he and his companions were hungry? You guys are telling me we can't eat on the Sabbath. Well, haven't you read what the Bible says about David? You're the king that you guys all respect and honor. He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was unlawful for them to do, but only for the priests." Basically, he's saying, did you know that the rule says the ordinary people should not eat that bread, and yet David ate it himself because he was hungry, and his enemies, the people of Saul, were chasing him, and they couldn't find any food to eat, and the only food they could find was the food for the priests. Basically, he was saying, the whole point of the Sabbath is not the law or the rule. The whole point of the Sabbath is to benefit the people to whom that rule is being applied. It's not about being religious and legalistic. It's understanding the spirit behind it. Further, he said, "Or haven't you read the law that the priests on the Sabbath day's duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent?" Basically, what he's saying is, do you realize that the priests who run the services are actually working on the very Sabbath day you're talking about? And yet, God says they're innocent because what they're doing is they're worshiping God. In other words, the spirit of the law is not that you just complied with the law, but you're actually blessing someone. Not only are you blessing someone, you're actually worshiping God, which is the spirit of the law. I remember earlier this morning, I told the story about my son, referencing a story where he was observing the Sabbath day. Our Sabbath day as pastors is not your Sabbath day. You guys work probably from Monday to Friday or Monday to Saturday, and your Sabbath is usually the Sunday. My Sabbath's tomorrow. Technically speaking, I'm working right now, and this is my office. Amen. Welcome to my office. And that's what the pastor does. And so a Sabbath day for me would be a Monday, and that's the same for my son. And I remember him referencing a story many years ago where he had gotten married and he wanted his wife and he to observe the Sabbath. And they talked about it with his wife, and they said, on Mondays, on our Sabbath day, we're not going to work. We're going to shut the lights out. We're going to sleep. We're going to rest. We're just going to enjoy the Sabbath. And one particular Monday, they receive a phone call, and basically they were told that a friend of theirs was in the hospital languishing, and the man was dying. And he had made this rule with his wife and said, we're not going to leave. We're not going to do ministry. That's our work on a Sabbath day. But when they got that call and realized what was going on, he thought to himself, I wish I could break the rule, run to the hospital and pray for this man. But he was wondering how his wife would feel now that they've created a rule out of it. So he looked at his wife and basically said, so-and-so is sick, and I was just thinking, I think I want to go to the hospital and pray for him. And his wife smiled and said, I was thinking exactly the same thing. We need to go even though it's our Sabbath. They went to the hospital, prayed for the man. The man got healed. And this morning, the man was sitting right there. His name is Kim Atienza. Because there are things that you and I need to understand, the spirit of it thing, not just the rule. And here Jesus was saying, be careful that you not just take the principle, but not practice the spirit behind the rule. It says, you guys got it all wrong. I tell you that something greater than this temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I desire the spirit of mercy, not just the sacrifice or the action that you're doing, you would not have condemned the innocent. And then he goes on to say this, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. In essence, what he's saying is, it's about the person that the Sabbath is for. It's not about the rule. The principle versus the spirit. A very important facet to understand when we're reading this particular passage of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Herein lies the essence of the principle of the Sabbath day. First thing he says is, the Lord says, remember. Everybody say, remember. What that means simply is, don't forget. Mark that day. That's the principle. The principle is, don't forget that day, mark that day, remember that day, celebrate that day, because that day is the Sabbath day. The word Sabbath, by the way, comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which simply means the absence of struggle. That's all it means. Remember the day where you're not struggling. Remember the day not just of work, but you're not struggling. In other words, you're pausing. You're pausing for a while and you're saying, I'm not struggling this day. Many times, the reason why you and I burn out is not because of the work you do. Actually, when you enjoy the work you do, you never get tired. That's like Steve Curry, amen? The guy's just enjoying. The guy's just having fun. Win or lose, he's having fun. He's not struggling. He couldn't care less if they never got the championship. He couldn't care less if he never got the stats. What's important is I'm enjoying my job. It's when you're struggling. When there's something deep down in your soul that's not quite in place and you've got to prove yourself. That's the struggle. When that struggle happens to you, that's when it becomes a pressure cooker. That's when it becomes heavy. And the command basically says to these Israelites who were slaves in Egypt, you got to remember this day and you no longer have to struggle the same way you struggled when you were slaves. Because it's very possible that though you're a successful businessman or a business owner and you think your employees are slaves, you might just be a slave yourself because you're struggling. And it says, remember. Remember the absence of struggle. And not only remember it, he says, keep it holy. Basically, keep it set aside. Set it apart. Most of the things of God are things that we need to set apart. The only way you're going to really enjoy the Sabbath days is if you set it apart. The principle is very simple. Don't forget the absence of struggle and set it apart. Here's the reason why the Sabbath day is important. Because the idea of not struggling was not meant for one day. It was meant to be a lifestyle that you lived every day. The idea was when you got out on a Monday, you're still not struggling. On a Tuesday, you're still not struggling. On a Wednesday, you're still not struggling. And here's the point. The point is, if you can't make it happen in one day as a practice and remember it, you're not going to be able to make it happen every day of the week. It's the principle. God's not averse to you working. He actually likes you working. There's productive work. There's creative work. There's successful work. You're never going to be fully happy. By God's design, we were designed to work 6 days and enjoy a day of rest. However, that point of the enjoying the day of rest so that we can learn how not to struggle on a daily basis because we've learned how to walk it out in one day. Principle. Now, it goes on to say, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a day without struggle to the Lord your God. A day when you're not struggling, a day when you're postponing everything. In essence, what you're saying is, God, I do not want to struggle because I need you. It's a declaration. The reason why I'm stopping is because I need you, God. I can't make this happen on my own. Whenever you go forward and not celebrate the Sabbath, in essence, what you're saying is, I don't really need you, God. I can make this happen. Person who pauses and celebrates the Sabbath is acknowledging, God, I need you. The first time the idea of the Sabbath day and the teaching to the Jews happened in Exodus 16. They were complaining to God about the food they were eating as slaves. And they've forgotten God. God basically said, I'm going to provide for you, but it's going to come in the form of this flake that's going to come down from heaven. And I'm going to cover the morning with it. And you're supposed to get up in the morning and get these flakes, collect it. But don't collect too much. Just collect enough. Because whatever you collect, by the time you measure it, it will be the exact same measurement as everybody else's. It was a miracle. And some guys did not listen to the Lord. And they kept collecting. And they would collect in excess. You can read this tonight when you get home. But when they got home, what they collected was just enough for that day. Please do not ever use that verse to believe in socialism. Amen. The Lord was teaching them something. They were teaching them the need for him. And so the manna, which they came when this thing started dropping, it was so weird because they've never seen anything like it. And so they said manna. The word manna, by the way, means what in the world is this? That's literally what it means. What is this? It was God's provision. Interestingly, on the sixth day, God says, collect enough, but on the seventh day, don't you dare go out and collect because it won't even be there. And just trust me, I'll provide for you, but acknowledge your need for me. In essence, learn to rest in me. And the more rested you are, we've got this flip, folks. Seriously flip. The way we do it is we work to the bones, and then when we're overworked and burned out and tired, we rest. God's way is actually the other way around. Learn to rest. Learn to walk in such peace, in such joy, and because of that, when you go out to work, you become extra productive, extra strong, and it doesn't burn you out. That was the idea. A few weeks ago, I told you about a member of our church who had passed away at the age of 29. And her mother, who's a longtime member of this church. And I've known this young lady from the time she was probably 2 years old. And I've seen her. I've seen her mother in church. And I see her grow up in church. And she, as I've told you previously, she'd passed away. The church had taken a interview with her mother and some of the stuff that she's put on Tumblr and Facebook and some of the interviews about her. And they put it in a blog, and I want to read parts of it to you in light of understanding what rest really looks like. When you grow up every day with the condition, the blood condition that she had, and have to go to a hospital, have blood transfusions on a regular basis, you wonder what kind of turmoil a person will have. When I was in the wake, my wife can attest to this, we were sitting there and all these young guys and girls came up and started to testify about her life. And when she was describing her and talking about her life, the peace, the joy that she represented, the person that who she is, and how some of them have gotten saved and become Christians because of her model, it was a picture of rest. Jody was a young girl, and I want to read excerpts of the blog that the church put out about her. It says, when I was a child, she wrote, I used to pretend that we were checking in the hotel every time I was confined for blood transfusions. I actually learned to enjoy being hospitalized. If you're going to learn anything from this girl, you need to learn how to enjoy it. And here's a principle that you might want to learn. What you don't enjoy, you're never going to keep doing. But when you learn to enjoy something, you're going to have the ability to rest from it. From age 4, she would go in the hospital every month for blood transfusions. She would also undergo iron chelation, which was so expensive and difficult at the time. In 1998, health complications necessitated the removal of her spleen and gallbladder. Iron deposits began to take toll on her organs. Particularly, you think about, you know, this girl worked for us. She did a lot of the graphic designs that you've seen in our church. And when you come here and meet this girl, you wouldn't even feel a semblance of pain. Always joyful, always happy, always seemingly at rest. Despite these health challenges, Jody remained unfazed and positive, even more so in 1999 when her mother took her to church. Those around her, right, Sheila Marquez, another friend, even if they didn't know her so well, couldn't help but praise God just by watching the way she lived, loved, and inspired others. Her sickness may have affected her body, but it never touched her spirit. She remained full of faith, at peace, beaming with joy, thankful and faithful to her call to the very end. "I'm not really afraid of dying," Jody wrote in 2012. "In fact, sometimes I long for it. And ultimately, though, what matters to me are these, that I have lived my years on earth fully, that the people I love know just how much I love them, and that I have lived every ounce of my strength to glorify and please Jesus." Peace, rest, the ability to really just confess, you know, I wish all of you could say that I'm not afraid to die. Not because of just wanton fatalism, but just the reality of the peace of God. But here we are in a world of struggle, struggling to keep up, struggling to make more, struggling to keep the plate spinning, struggling to survive. Exodus chapter 20, verse 10. "On it you shall not do any work." In other words, at the Sabbath day, you're not supposed to work. You, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. Basically, what he's saying is, there's no faking this one, guys. You can't say you're not doing work, but your son is actually working. Your employees are actually working. Basically, what this is, I want you to trust me. I want you to learn to trust me. It's not just that you need me. You need to trust me that I will provide for you regardless of whether you're working or not. Trusting God is an important facet of the Sabbath. I'm struggling right now to find time with my children. I want to give you a tip in the middle of this year, because we just did this last week. My wife, at the time my kids were very, very small, would celebrate the middle of the year with what we call a moment to thank God for, time of rest. And last Thursday, we got the family together, now with wives and children, and we sat down and we wrote down all the things we wanted to thank God for. In January, what happened? What do I want to thank God? And one by one, each member of the family spoke and said, "Here's what I want to thank God for. Here's what I want to thank God for. Here's what I want to thank God for." Acknowledging God, our need for you, our trust of you, the rest and the peace. And I was watching my daughters-in-law write down, "Here's what I want to thank God for." Sometimes we don't remember. We're there struggling it out, hashing it out, working it out, and forgetting, "God, I need you. And I trust you that you'll provide for me." At the end of the course, after writing everybody's, "This is what I'm thanking God for," we start to talk about, "Here's what I'm believing you for in the next 6 months, God." And we started writing down, "Here's what I'm believing you for, God. Here's what I'm believing you. Here's what I'm believing you." Putting to rest and saying, "God, we're not going to struggle with this." The idea of the Sabbath is not just one day. The idea of the Sabbath is a spirit that knows that I need God, that I can trust God, that I can operate this life with success because God is for me and not against me. The practice of that spirit is a principle. Make it happen one day. Set aside one day that acknowledges, "God, today I'm setting this aside. I'm making this holy for you." Not as a rule, but as a spiritual truth in my life. I trust you. I was interesting where I was reading this, and I took note of the word livestock. You and I don't run piggeries and cattle. Some of you do. But sometimes when the word livestock, it's probably you're at peace, you're sitting in your house, you think you're resting, but the reality is you keep checking your livestock. you're checking your investments in Bloomberg and you're still worrying. Amen? Some of you, your idea of the Sabbath day is to rest and lounge in your nice lazy boy in your giant TV and watch a horror story and struggle the whole time. And you thought you were having a Sabbath. Some of you, your idea of a Sabbath is to play a video game and you're playing with your cousin and your teenagers and you're and the next thing you know, you're arguing and fighting over a video game. That's your Sabbath. It's funny how we forget the spirit of the Sabbath. To remember, it's a day not to struggle. It's a day to be set aside to acknowledge, God, I need you. I need you. I don't just need you, I trust you. When they asked me during our family time, what are you thanking God for, Pop? I said, I've got 5 things to thank God for. The first one is in January 16. It was Vito. I thank God because Vito had a disease that was life-threatening. And I remember bringing him to the vet and putting the IV with him. And he was suicidal. He didn't want to stay in the vet. I was believing God. So that's my livestock moment. And one of my sons said the most sacrilegious statement. I don't get this. All shih tzus look alike. My wife, myself, and my youngest son all reacted, whoa. My wife said, stop it, David, before you're still alive. And I warned him, David, if you say one more word, you're out of this house. And Joshua basically said, how do you want it? We all said, all David looks alike. Sometimes we miss the joy of family because we're worried, aren't we? Stressed about things, money, more food. How do I keep the plates running and spinning? The spirit of the law was not so that you could do more law. The spirit of the law is so you could enjoy the person. Hence, Exodus chapter 20 verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and then he himself rested on the 7th day. God rested on the 7th day not because he got tired. Isaiah says he never gets tired or weary. God rested on the 7th day because he wanted to sit back and enjoy creation. And as you've heard me say this many, many times, God did not make you on the 1st day, not on the 2nd day, not on the 3rd day, not on the 4th day, not even the 5th day. He made us on the 6th day because his intent was when you woke up on the 7th day, the first thing you would see was not God working, but God enjoying creation with you. Because the very essence of the Sabbath is not just that I need you, Lord, I trust you, but Lord, I enjoy you. You're a pleasure to be with. It's fun to have you. God wants us to enjoy him, not just have a rule. That's what he was telling the Pharisees. Guys, you got this wrong. This is not about just fulfilling rules and laws. This is about enjoying God. I learned this the hard way. My grandmother, who literally led me to the Lord, once told me, Joey, you better learn the Sabbath day, lest God gives you a Sabbath day in an operating room. Amen? And if you, because of all the Sabbath days that you didn't fulfill, God has to force you into a Sabbath day. Because he wants you rested. He wants you enjoying life. I've learned to walk on certain days and just be quiet and do nothing and just talk to God. And acknowledge, God, I need you, I trust you, and I enjoy you. The next picture I'm about to show you is a historical moment in my life. It's historical because it's the first time I ever took a selfie. This is the first selfie I've actually took. For years, I've always been afraid of a selfie. You know, I'm 59. I mean, people like me don't take selfies, amen? So this is the first time, literally the first time, and amazingly, this is a one-shot, once-in-a-lifetime. Whoa, I'm good at selfies. It was a discovery. But the significance of this picture is not really the selfie. The significance of this picture is it reminds me of the walks, the countless walks I've had with God. these moments when I would just pick up a leaf and crumple it and look at the sky and say, Lord, I need you. I trust you. And I enjoy you. I just really love you. Some of us are too busy. I've learned to listen to the birds. The birds who are up in the air telling us, stop for a while. The birds that don't have to sow and reap and store in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. I remember one time I was walking with Vito, and I remember this moment where the Holy Spirit just began to speak to me and minister to me. And he said, Joey, do you really love Vito? And I said, yes, Lord, I really, really love Vito. How much do you love him? I really love him, Lord. Do you love him enough to become a dog like him? And I stopped for a minute and I said, you know, seriously, guys, I need you to understand, you can have a conversation with God. The reason why you're not having one is because you're just too busy. And I remember I was walking, and after a few minutes, I started thinking about, do I want to be a dog so I can show Vito how much I love him? The answer is no. I don't want to walk on all fours. I don't want to be leashed. I don't want to be kicked around. I don't want to be given to just anybody. I want to be able to communicate. I don't want to just bark. I don't want to eat the slop people give me. I want to be able to sow and reap and generate. No, I don't love him enough to be a dog like him. Then the Lord began to speak to me and said, well, that's how much I love you. Because the truth is, you're the dog and I'm you. And except that you multiply that a few billion times, that's the disparity. And yet I was willing to become a man where you can insult me and hurt me and crucify me because I wanted to show you how much I love you. There are lessons that you and I will learn not from a pulpit and a preacher like me. You learn it when you learn how to walk with God and enjoy Him. I was in KL with my son. And we went inside the Science Museum. And there was a little expo display that talked about gases and matter and the earth and the crust and all of biological science. And these scientists basically together said that at best estimate ever, if you take all of matter, that all the knowledge that we as human beings know about all of matter is at best 4% of the reality of what's out there. All the information we know about medicine, our bodies, insects, alligators, babies, copper, the elements inside quartz, you add that all together, everything that we know in Google, everything we know is at best 4%. And there's a God who says, I want to tell you those secrets. If you'll just be still, if you'll just pause, if you learn, stop being a slave. You're not a slave. I've taken you out of Egypt. You're not a slave. But you're going to need to know you need me. You're going to need to know there's no one you can trust but me. And you're going to have to learn how to enjoy me. That's how you're going to be free from being a slave. Because every time you struggle, you're behaving like a slave. And He wants you to be free on a Sabbath day so that on Monday, when you go to work, while I enjoy my Sabbath, amen? You're full of energy, full of strength, resuscitated, re-energized, able to face the world once again. Leviticus chapter 26 tells us the benefits of the Sabbath day. It says, if you observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary, I am the Lord. If you do this, if you follow my decrees and carefully obey my commands in reference to the Sabbath, I will send you rain in season. The ground will yield its crops, and the trees and the field their fruit. In other words, you're going to have such rhythm. You're going to be dancing in life. You're going to look like you're floating. You're going to look like you're walking in water. You're going to be wondering, how does that happen to him? Why does the fruit in his vineyard taste good? Because he's got rhythm. That rhythm comes from knowing this day. I need you. I trust you. I find pleasure in you. That recalibrates your entire system to know how to walk out on Monday. The rhythms of life, the seasons, the rains come just at the right time for you. That's why he's giving you this command. The spirit behind the rule was the point. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. That's why he said, come to me, all of you who are heavily laden, so I can give you rest. Cast that worry. I need you, Jesus. I trust you. I enjoy you. He says in Leviticus chapter 26, it's not just that. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all. Everybody say all. All the food that you want. That's why you don't have to overeat, because you can eat it all. You know why some people overeat? Because they think tomorrow they're not having to eat. Do you know if you knew that you can eat all of the best of the land, you're going to eat small portions because I'm going to eat it again tomorrow. But that's the promise if you observe the Sabbath. You're going to be so rested, you're going to have the rhythms of life, you're going to know where the right timing is. You're going to figure out his word. I will grant peace in the land. And you will die down and no one will make you afraid. Sleep is the number one restorer of health, folks. Can't buy that one. Not even with the most expensive pill. Sleep is the thing that produces the melatonin that flows into your bloodstream, that becomes the serotonin, that is the main ingredient to producing every biochemical you need in your body to kill off every disease. The trigger is sleep. God grants sleep to those he loves. Those who have learned the rhythm of the Sabbath. I need you. I trust you. I find pleasure in you. You will pursue your enemies and they will fall by the sword before you. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. Basically, what he's saying is you're going to be a Superman. Because you found the rhythm. I love the story of Truett Cathy, founder of Chick-fil-A. This is a secular magazine, by the way. The title is, Chick-fil-A takes KFC's chicken crown even with fewer stores and closing on Sundays so workers can attend church. The founder of Chick-fil-A basically said, I don't need more money, I need more God. If you want to open on Sunday and wear your employees out, that's your business, I'm not going there. This is a secular magazine that reports our founder, Truett Cathy, made a decision to close on Sundays in 1946 when he opened his first restaurant. And to this day, Chick-fil-A closes on a Sunday. He has often shared his decision was much a practical as spiritual, said the spokesman for the company. He believes that all franchise Chick-fil-A operators and their restaurant employees should have an opportunity to rest, spend time with family and friends, and worship if they choose to do so. That's why Chick-fil-A restaurants are closed on Sundays. It's part of our recipe for success. Kentucky Fried Chicken, 4,438 stores. Chick-fil-A, 1,775 stores. Kentucky Fried Chicken, 4.2 billion. Chick-fil-A, 5.5 billion. You still make $4 billion with all your struggling, but you can do less struggling and be healthy and be strong and acknowledge and honor Him. Remember the Sabbath. Don't forget the day with no struggle. Keep it holy. There's a way to live right. It's not all about money. Just because you have all the money in the world doesn't mean you're happy. There are a lot of people who have a lot of money. They're just as much a slave as their employees. They're worse than an employee because their employees are already at home asleep and they're still awake thinking of the payroll. You're just as much as a slave. And to all who said, God, I want to celebrate the Sabbath, there's victory. Verse 26, chapter 26, verse 9, I will look on you with favor. I'll make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. I will look with you in favor. You're going to just be favored. You're going to do things and open doors. You're going to start behaving. You're going to start seeing things that just don't happen to ordinary people. It's not because you're extraordinary. It's because of me. You will still be eating last year's harvest when you have to move it out. Basically, I got to give this away. I can't even, there's no room to store it. This is the blessing of the Sabbath. I got to figure out what to do with this. There's just too much for me. Because I know, because I keep this, it's going to happen. This whole rhythm thing is going to happen again and again and again and again. I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. The Sabbath, the rule that we shouldn't be breaking. The rule that we shouldn't be breaking, but we shouldn't just take it as a principle. Some people say, the Sabbath is having a day off. Not quite. It's a spirit. I need you. I trust you. I enjoy you. As I close, I want to reference a movie, Chariots of Fire. How many of you have watched this movie? It's a phenomenal movie. It's a miracle movie. It's a totally low-budget movie. Unknown actors, Muslim producer, and the star, the only star, was a confessed homosexual who died of AIDS. How many of you would like to watch this movie now? It's amazing. It's an amazing story. And then it wins the Oscar that year for Best Picture, Best Director. It wins the Best Musical Score for that year. The interesting thing is, the whole point of the story was a contrast between two men, and the producers and the director didn't even know what they were doing. It wasn't about Christianity. It was one of those movies that God stuck in there. It was a story of this Jew who was a champion runner, and this other guy who was a missionary. His name was Eric Liddell. It's a true story. This is in history. I think I've watched this movie more than 50 times. I'm not even exaggerating. I've watched it with my kids. I've watched it with small group people. I've watched it and keep reminding them. There's two very poignant moments in this movie. When the Olympics came and Eric Liddell, the missionary, was about to run, and the International Olympic Committee announced to him that the race is about to start and your race is on this day, and his face changed and he said, I can't run. I said, why can't you run? That's my Sabbath day. That's the day I've made holy to the Lord. I have an appointment with God. I can't do this. I don't care how. He was a sure win. He was the fastest man on earth at the time. I just can't do this. There's no way you guys are going to make me run. They called the Prince of Wales. They called the head of the British Olympic guys. And they were pressuring him. And he was sitting there. I said, I can't. He stood up and said, you can't make me do this. But you know what was even more poignant was not that. It was the moment, a few years before that run, when his sister was a missionary in China. He was also a missionary in China. And he was training for the Olympics. And his sister came to him and said, "Why do you want to run? Stop this nonsense. We've got work to do. We've got rules. We've got this. We're missionaries. We've got to do it." And he said, here's what he said. He said, "I can't stop running. Because every time I run, I see his pleasure. I feel God. I feel the pleasure of God. I run this fast, not because of my energy, not because of training, because I can feel God as I run. I enjoy him. And I find him when I do this. The pleasure of God." He prevailed over the Olympic committee. He said, "I'm not running, sorry." They're going to throw him out. One of the guys ran in and said, "I'm just going to switch places with him." Joel, well, you need to watch this. You're an athlete. Everybody should watch this movie. He said, "We're going to switch races." And it was not the race that he was used to. The American athlete that he was competing with sent him a list, who was also a Christian, and said, "He who honors him, he will honor." That day, Eric Little ran and made world history by beating the record. Rest, folks. Acknowledging God, "I need you. I trust you. I want to bring pleasure to you as you bring pleasure to me." It's the spirit of the Sabbath is not a rule. It's learning to walk that way every day. When the stress and the struggle comes, we pause and we say, "God, I need you right now. And I trust you to deliver me. And I have pleasure in you. And I'm setting aside, I'm backing off, I'm not worrying, I'm not going to push this thing. I'm going to pause for a while. I'll trust you. I'll see you deliver me." Amen? You stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer. Just bow your heads, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. And if you're here and you're just saying, "God, I want to reinstate, I want to start, I want to celebrate your Sabbath." And as an act of faith, I'm just standing here before you. Would you just lift up your hands to him? "God, I just want to restart, re-acknowledge, bring back the spirit and the principle, God." Would you just confess this with your own mouth? "God, I need you." Just say that with me. "I need you, God. I trust you. And God, I want to enjoy you every day of my life. And even today, Lord, help me. Help me to restore this commandment in my life." Would you just lay hands in your hearts? Lord, I pray that you seal this truth today. God, that I may capture the very spirit of the Sabbath day, a day to enjoy you and find pleasure in all that you do for me. Lord, we give you praise, we give you thanks, we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download from joeybonifacia.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.